Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Emily Reddy. The State College Area School District has proposed changes to the school day. The elementary school day would be longer, and middle and high school would start later. To talk about these proposed changes and some of the research behind these recommendations, I'm joined in the studio by Superintendent Bob O'Donnell and Penn State researchers Dr. Anne-Marie Chang, who studies the effects of sleep on cognitive performance, and Dr. Ed Fuller, who's director of the Penn State Center for Evaluation and Education Policy Analysis. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Superintendent O'Donnell, I think a lot of people would say the schools in the State College Area School District are pretty good. You know, why change anything? What's spurring these changes?
You bet. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on to share a little bit about what we've proposed and why. This conversation regarding our elementary school day goes back many years. And although there's more to the proposal than that, that was the key impetus to generate the proposal. When you look at our school system, there are some facets where we do really well, and there are some aspects of what we do where we want to make some improvements because we see some real needs. And when you look at time and learning with students, that really factors into why we propose this. So what we've done was looked at how we could add some learning time for our elementary students to the day. That in turn causes some shifts on the rest of our system, mainly due to the logistics of transporting 7,000 students to and from school each day. Some of those reasons include our desire to better help every student grow as a learner, as well as to help reduce the achievement gap that we see in almost a third of our students who truly in our elementary schools come to us with less experiences. And we want to provide them an opportunity to develop more as learners. Whether you compare us to similar schools or communities in our state, or whether you look at some of the data that we've showed with our comparisons to national learning information, you can see that we do have some needs. And this is one of the strategies we believe that will help us to improve how we serve students, all students.
This would add 44 minutes a day in all. 24 minutes of that would be core learning. Dr. Fuller, currently the State College Area School District's at 6 hours and 6 minutes of a school day length. How does that compare with other school districts?
That's substantially less relative to most school districts. I was actually surprised when I moved here, the short length of the school day for elementary students. Having come from Texas and studying education, I just hadn't seen any elementary schools that had that short of a day. And so it was a little surprising.
What does research say a longer school day does for children?
There's not a wealth of research, but the research that does exist, and especially the highest quality research, shows that when you lengthen the school day, achievement tends to go up, particularly, as Dr. O'Donnell mentioned, for those students who have more challenges, need some extra assistance. It definitely benefits those students. But all students benefit from a longer day, assuming that they're engaging in rich learning experiences.
What are those groups of students that you expect this to particularly benefit?
Students that come from families that don't necessarily have the financial resources to pay for really high quality early childcare, or do a lot of traveling or lots of educational experiences. A lot of families just don't have the financial resources to offer their kids those experiences. So no fault of the parents, those students often come to school a little further behind than their peers, and having extra time helps them catch up and close that gap.
And I've looked at some of the online discussions among parents. A concern for some of them is that a 7-hour day or a 9 or 10-hour day, if the parents work and they need after school care, is just too long, especially for their kindergartner or first grader. How does research say kids hold up to that?
There's not a whole lot of research that is applicable to this particular situation because the school day is so short here. Usually we're talking about a school district that's taking a longer school day to begin with and adding time. Here we're just going to where we have a typical length of day for kids. It depends what you do with the kids during that time. That determines a lot on how they respond. If you're going to have them sit in desk and just do work for 7 or 8 hours in a row, yeah, they're not going to like it and they're not going to behave very well by the end of the day. And I am well aware of that, having taught and having a 6-year-old. But that's typically not what happens in classrooms. And I know there's a lot of professional development and efforts that are going on in the district, like, you know, addressing questions like homework and recess so that kids are up and moving. Even if they're in the classroom, they're up and moving and doing things. They're not just sitting there. So there really doesn't seem to be any evidence that they're going to be negatively affected. There would be if they're just going to sit in desk and do work all day, but that's generally not what happens.
Superintendent O'Donnell, I understand that there is a committee looking at whether to reduce or eliminate homework for elementary students with this extended school day, maybe help alleviate some of this concern.
Sure. Actually, earlier today, we were looking at the homework policy in particular for our elementary school students. And, you know, with the day, should it expand what we've proposed? And this came through the committee that had some community members, including parents, teachers, principals, and they took a good look at the research, and it's pretty clear in the elementary grades, the body of research around the effects of homework on learning is much lower in the effect size than the secondary students. So the draft that I've seen coming out proposes daily reading for our kindergarten through fifth grade students, 10 minutes an evening for primary age students, and then 20 minutes for intermediate grade students. And then no daily homework for kindergarten through second grade students. And then I believe it was a 10-minute amount or maximum that was being considered for grades 3 through 5. Because we get the benefit of the increased learning time with our teachers, we want to make sure we decrease expectations on that family time in the evening, because we believe that we'll get a positive impact on the learning experiences with the time, and we could reduce that homework piece.
Dr. Chang, you study the importance of sleep for adolescents. It's sort of a secondary factor, or it was required in shifting around the schedules. This proposal would start the day for middle and high school students half an hour later at 8:40 instead of 8:10. What does research say this means, especially for teenagers functioning throughout the day?
Well, this kind of change in the school start time would really show, as the evidence suggests, a positive effect for middle schoolers and high schoolers. So adolescents typically have a delay in their body's clock. So their body requires a certain amount of sleep, and in order for them to obtain that optimal amount of sleep, it would require them to go to bed at a certain time to have enough sleep opportunity before having to wake up for school the next morning. And a delay of a half hour would likely increase the time that they would be getting to sleep.
And their body doesn't say, though, hey, you better get to bed at 9. You need enough sleep.
Right. Even if they wanted to accommodate that need and go to bed earlier, their biology just doesn't really allow them at that age to do that. And so they have a hard time. Even if they go to bed, they have the best intention, they might not be able to fall asleep until a later time than even they choose.
And the fact that they would be able to sleep until later, that doesn't make them just go to bed later at night?
That's a great question, and that's something that people may assume is going to happen. But studies have shown that when you delay the school start time, the only measure of sleep that is delayed is wake time. The bedtime remains the same, or in some cases, it moves earlier. And so that delay in the wake time is what is causing or driving that longer sleep duration once the school start time is made later.
And you have two sons who are in high school here in the school district. So this will affect you, would affect you personally as well.
That's right. That's right. So professionally and in areas of my work and my research, but also I see evidence of that every day with my two teenagers who would sleep in more and later when they are allowed to have a delayed wake time.
And do you see the effect on them when they do get more or less sleep?
Definitely. I see that effect in their ability to function and the daily tasks they maintain. I see the difference in their mood, in their attention, in their memory, in their general demeanor.
And assuming this goes through, is there anything parents can do to help their kids make this shift in sleep schedule?
There is. I think the parental role is critical to any kind of change and ability for children to obtain better sleep and to adapt to a schedule, whether it's earlier or later. The parental support and ability to foster a routine and an environment that prepares a child for sleep, even making sleep a priority in the household and in the routine for all members of the family, is a really important part of successfully, you know, making a transition.
Could I weigh in?
Yes, I noticed you were taking some notes there, Superintendent O'Donnell.
Yeah, this is Bob. We've spoken with Dr. Chang as well as two other people we've used as resources to really understand how we might be able to help families with a pending transition, including Dr. Solik. He's a physician in our community who helps people who experience sleep challenges or disorders, as well as Dr. Buxton, who's a colleague of Dr. Chang's. And, they've agreed that, you know, we'd help families and run some informational sessions so that we can help them with strategies through the transition. And even if we don't make the change, I think it'd be a really helpful experience for people to hear the strategies, because they have a lot of wisdom. And I think even without a change, it's really good for families to understand that some of our practices are really good ideas and some of them aren't helping. So my interactions with them as a dad of three children, one at each level in the system, have been really helpful. So actually, in our house, I say, well, Dr. Chang said so. In all seriousness, we have discussed that if the proposal moves forward, that in the winter and spring, we would enlist their help and have some opportunities for our parents to work with us and learn a little bit from these three people who are truly experts.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. I'm Emily Reddy. Our guests are Bob O'Donnell, the superintendent of the State College Area School District, Ed Fuller, an associate professor and director of the Penn State Center for Evaluation and Education Policy Analysis, and Anne-Marie Chang, an assistant professor of biobehavioral health at Penn State, who studies the effects of sleep on cognitive performance. So, in order to have the middle and high school day start later, the elementary day has to start earlier, and that's because there aren't enough buses to do all the routes at once. The district also has to do transportation for charter and non-public schools.
Right.
It was reported that they had agreed to align their schedules, change their minds. Have you figured out these busing challenges, Superintendent O'Donnell, and what's it going to cost?
Yeah, we have figured them out. Two of the schools were interested in making the change, not all. So I think there's some misinformation out there that all of the non-public and charter schools agreed. They did not. Two of the schools said they were very open to the idea, but obviously they wanted to see the information play out. We have worked through this with our transportation staff. We do have a sophisticated software system, and we've worked through that. However, we also requested that our board have a transportation consultant to go through all of our routes and verify everything and give us some ideas of where they see we might be able to improve. Or what I mean by that is shorten times for kids on buses, because we do desire both containing cost increases as well as shortening length of bus rides for students, although we have 150 square miles, so that's a challenge because some students live fairly far away from our schools. We've gone through it, and our projections right now have us at approximately an increase of $250,000.
And a concern I've seen from parents is about how late middle and high school students, especially those who do sports, might get home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the afternoon would be 24 minutes later. There's a trade-off there. You know, there's no question. They'd have a 30-minute later start time. Currently, we start picking high school students up at 6:38 in the morning. That's not all students, but that's when we begin, and those students happen to live fairly far away from our high school. But with that said, those students would also arrive home if we made this change a little bit later. In speaking with high school students, most are in desire of this change. However, there are some, because of athletics or an extracurricular commitment, that they don't want to see the change. What we're looking to do to help that is our high school faculty with our curriculum coordinators, they're our department leaders, so to speak. They're working on some flexible learning opportunities, which include some hybrid courses with our change to Canvas, which is an online course management system for all of our faculty, where you wouldn't meet to the degree of time regularity that they currently meet with teachers every other day for 90 minutes. They might meet, you know, twice a week or 45 minutes every other day. It would require less contact time there and free them up a little bit. Students who have internships as well. So I think the idea of the flexibility makes sense regardless of what we do, because of what we're seeing with our students who leave our high school. We have about 300 kids a year go to Penn State. And, you know, from what I've learned through being on the advisory board with the World Campus, quite a few undergrads take one class per semester in an online format. So I do think we owe it to our students to help prepare them for that unique experience.
Another concern I've seen is that especially this time of year, elementary students might be waiting in the dark for the bus.
You're right. Although most of our students would be picked up closer to 7:30 in the morning, there are some that would be picked up around 7:10. That's about when we'd begin picking up students. We're looking at some safety precautions that we might not be considering. We also need help from parents. You know, we have about 800 students who walk to school. You know, at the elementary age, when you see student walkers, you see adults with them. So we don't think that's a challenge for us, because parents are currently walking those young students to school. However, it is a change, and we need to communicate how that change would be impacted. Our buses do, in most cases, show up very close to the projected time schedule. By and large, our buses are really close to the pickup time, so it doesn't really impede on that parent time significantly. Obviously, in the winter months, managing your family and your children is a challenge. Having students waiting outside in the dark absolutely is something that we'd have to work with, because these would be the younger students. Currently, it's only older students, secondary students, waiting in the dark.
You've done a lot of outreach on this proposal town halls, some online, some in person, meetings at Panera over coffee, talking on the radio about it. Do you feel like you're getting parents on board with these changes?
Well, you know, we went through the referendum a few years ago, and although we're doing outreach for, you know, this process, it's not to the degree of the referendum. I do think that, you know, during the past year almost, the amount of conversations that we've had throughout the community, obviously my family and I live in the community, so, you know, grocery store, you name it, sidelines, wherever, you know, people with kids want to talk about school and what's going on. And there's no question that overwhelmingly there's a positive amount of feedback, but there are concerns. You know, no question about it. If you came out to the forums or the coffees, you did see some people with concerns. You also saw people who really liked the idea. You know, we live in a community that's very engaged in education. As you can see, the two people I look to on my left here are truly experts. They also have kids in school. The good thing is that they care about it and they bring ideas to the table. I wish we could do every good idea.
Have you made changes based on that?
Yeah, you know, when we went out in April and put the proposal forward, some of the things that we heard, we responded to as best we could. You know, there are logistical challenges. We tweaked the day to begin at 8:10 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. We heard quite a bit on that early time. I realized that it's not the same as saying let's have all schools start at 8:40 a.m. That would be my, you know, dream proposal, because I think it would be easier, you know, for us to manage as families in a community. There's no question. But I do think the proposal is significantly better than what we're currently experiencing as a system. Another thing that we're looking at changes is how we schedule recess. Obviously, a little bit longer day. We want to make sure recess is happening earlier, before lunch, if at all possible. We know the research on that. And then also, we want to increase recess a little bit for our K-2 kids. We also want to make sure that we're consistent or coherent as a system when the winter months come, because the winter months kids get out and play a little less. We're also updating our homework policy. And I think the process really helped us take a look at some things that, you know, would be good to look at regardless, you know, areas of improvement that I think our community desires. And let's face it, local control in education also means that you got to have local voice in decisions. So those are some of the things that we've looked at and are made changes to.
And so how much will this all cost? You mentioned transportation, about $250,000, yeah. But you'd have to add some teaching positions,
we would,
too.
Yeah. We've proposed a fifth special. Currently, 4 out of 5 days, students leave their core classroom for art, music, library, and physical education. All of those experiences would get about a 10-minute per visit or per class increase. So kids would get a little bit more experiences in those areas. And then we're looking at a fifth experience, and we're currently doing some outreach with elementary families. And then we're going to follow up with a survey. So we're doing a little focus group process to identify some key components to explore. We have asked about a world language being a part, and although it had a positive response, we believe we should do a little bit more outreach there. So we're getting in some thinking. We'll ask parents through a survey and then consider that feedback before we finalize that fifth special in the proposal. And through all of that, we will also do something that we've been working on in our secondary schools, and it's really around professional learning communities and the development of our teachers. There's no question that the best, most important things that we give students each day are highly trained, caring teachers with a really good plan. And that time will be utilized to both help teachers plan, be more well-planned, which means more responsive, respectful tasks for kids, but also when they're struggling with learners, working together to share what's working, what's not working, but also to bring in some professional development experiences for them when they're working through challenges. Let's face it, how many of us go to work each day and work with 20 to 25 learners and try to give each of those learners what they need? And I think that's a wonderful challenge in our profession, and our district wants to do better to support our teachers to that end.
And from what I've read, you're saying that adding those 8 to 10 teaching positions might cost about $1 million.
Absolutely. Because when you look at 8 to 10 contracts and the benefit packages that come with those, it is a recurring cost, and it would add staffing. Yes.
So your goal is to implement these changes for the 2018-2019 school year. The school board's going to vote in December whether or not to go forward. What have they said they need to see in order to give this the go-ahead? You know, what amount of buy-in or what have
you? Well, I think the cost and the transportation are the most critical. They absolutely want to iron out policy updates with homework as well with recess. And then they want to see the transportation piece ironed out more fully and have it double-checked. You know, that was actually our request, and the board supported that. We want to be thorough. This is, probably the biggest actual structural and logistic change that we've ever had in our school district. So to take that time to make sure that, everything is ironed out as best we can before we move forward makes sense. There'll still be a lot of work to do. We have to seek out those faculty members for whatever direction we go with the special. We have to inform families, inform daycare centers, preschools, curriculum development. So if we go forward in December, we'll be ready. If we don't go forward in December and put the decision off further, then, we think we would struggle being ready on time for 18-19. Although we've been working on this almost 2 years now, because we did contract negotiations with our teachers association for 1 year.
And the teachers have said they're on board with this.
Yeah, I mean, and their ideas are sprinkled throughout this. I mean, some of the ideas that I brought to the table simply include some of my experience in other school systems, and that included a more traditional secondary students go to school first, elementary students dismiss later. For us to do that, we would have had to bump up our secondary days to start even earlier, or had our elementary kids get out around 4 p.m. or later. And that we felt was the wrong thing to do.
Someone brought the research of Dr. Chang to you and said, these students aren't ready to learn this early.
It was interesting because we had taken a look at some of the sleep research. And when I found out that we had more experts in town than we knew, then we started asking them some questions. And some of the questions revolved around our elementary students and the concern for them to get up for that earlier time. We looked at, is there a difference between the elementary age kids and the secondary age kids? And is it going to be okay for those kids to be getting up a little earlier? So that's what we looked at. And because you can adjust their sleep patterns, that's why we moved forward with the proposal with those times.
Bob O'Donnell, Anne Marie Chang, Ed Fuller, thank you for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bob O'Donnell is the superintendent of the State College Area School District. Ed Fuller is an associate professor and director of the Penn State Center for Evaluation and Education Policy Analysis. And Anne Marie Chang is an assistant professor of biobehavioral health at Penn State, who studies the effects of sleep on cognitive performance. To listen to more Take Note interviews, go to our website at wpsu.org/take note. I'm Emily Reddy, WPSU.